Chapter 21. Joe DeLees was mightily displeased when he walked through the door of Warren's Warren and found someone occupying his favorite stool. He was even more displeased when the man turned toward him and DeLees recognized who he was. "I don't care what that son of a bitch lawyer said," DeLees said from the door. "If you're not off my stool by the time I get over there, I'm breaking your face." "You should know that son of a bitch lawyer is right over there," Holloway said, pointing to Sullivan, who was shooting pool by himself. DeLees paused. "Can't go anywhere without your protection, Jack," he said, after a second. He started walking toward his stool again. "Guess I got you that scared, don't I?" Holloway peered at DeLees. "Jesus, Joe, what happened to your face?" he asked. "You look like you tried to tongue-kiss a cat and the cat objected." "None of your damn business," DeLees said. "Mind you, I don't blame the cat," Holloway said, and looked again. "How long ago did that happen, anyway? Looks like maybe 4 or 5 days ago." "Kiss my ass," DeLees said. He was hovering over Holloway now. "And get off my stool." "I was planning to," Holloway said. "It smells bad. All those years of you farting into it, I suppose." "That's right," DeLees said. "Keep it up." "But before I do that, I've got something for you," Holloway said. "What?" DeLees said. "This," Sullivan said, slapping a court notice against his shoulder. He had walked up behind DeLees while the man had been threatening Holloway. "You've got a court date, preliminary hearing." DeLees looked back at his shoulder but didn't touch the notice. "What for?" he said. "For burning down my house, you asshole," Holloway said. "I don't know what you're talking about," DeLees said. "I've been here or I've been working, and I have people who will tell you that in both places." "Well then, you have nothing to worry about, do you?" Sullivan said. "You can show up in 3 days with some of your witnesses and let them chat with Judge Sultan, and then you'll be free to go." "I don't recall you calling in your little fire to security," DeLees said. "Funny about that," Holloway said. Considering the possible involvement of a ZeraCorp security officer, Mr. Holloway asked the judge to allow him to file a request for a preliminary hearing directly, Sullivan said, and I, as legal representative of ZeraCorp, indicated to her that the company wouldn't have a problem with that. "Surprise," Holloway said to DeLees. DeLees sneered at Holloway and looked back to Sullivan. "Even if it's true, which it's not, what do you care?" he asked Sullivan. "You're ZeraCorp's lawyer, not his. He's not a ZeraCorp employee. His house isn't ZeraCorp property. Shit, I'm the one who works for ZeraCorp, not this schmuck." "You're not working for ZeraCorp when you're allegedly burning down someone's house now, are you, Mr. DeLees?" Sullivan said. "That's on your own time." DeLees smirked at that. "I don't think you really want to serve that notice to me, counselor," he said. "A tip for you, Mr. DeLees," Sullivan said. "Just because you haven't touched the notice with your fingers doesn't mean it hasn't been served to you." DeLees snorted, took the notice, and set it on the bar. He turned to Sullivan. "This is going to be a waste of everybody's time," he said, "and I don't take very kindly to being made to look like an asshole, counselor." He jerked a thumb at Holloway. "You think you're doing yourself a favor by latching onto this piece of shit, but between you and me, Sullivan, I think you've picked the wrong horse this time. I don't think you're going to like where he's going to end up taking you." "Well, Mr. DeLees, coming from a man I once had to stop from killing Mr. Holloway in a ZeraCorp holding cell, that's certainly an ironic slice of food for thought," Sullivan said. "You can be assured I'll give it the consideration it deserves." "Yeah, I'm sure you will," DeLees said. "But he's not in the holding tank this time. He's not the untouchable you made him out to be. And when this is all done, we'll just see who the asshole is, won't we?" He turned toward Holloway, who blinded him with a flash. "What the hell?" DeLees said. "Just taking a picture," Holloway said, lowering the camera. "Your scratched-up face amuses the crap out of me, Joe." "Get off my stool, asshole," DeLees said. "Now." "All yours," Holloway said, getting up. "Enjoy it while you can." DeLees grunted and sat. "Have I told you today how much I hate you?" Chad Bourne said to Holloway. The two of them were walking Carl, who snuffled happily down one of the side streets of Aubreytown. Bourne had called Holloway to meet with him in his cubicle, but Holloway refused. A little bit of yelling later, and they were walking down the street with a dog. It was muggy and hot. Bourne was not dressed for a walk and was already sweating profusely. "I haven't done anything today to make you hate me," Holloway said. "You made me walk your dog with you," Bourne said. "That's not hate-worthy," Holloway said. "And anyway, you like Carl." "My cubicle is air-conditioned," Bourne said. "Your cubicle is probably bugged," Holloway said. "So now, in addition to being annoying, you're paranoid," Bourne said. "In the last few weeks, I've had my skimmer sabotaged and my house burned down to its floor panels," Holloway said. I've earned a little paranoia, I think. And anyway, I have things I need to say to you that I don't want anyone else to hear. Aside from your voices, Bourne said. Cute, Holloway said. He stopped while Carl examined a particularly interesting sapling. Chad, look, we have our problems, you and I. And I'm willing to admit lots of those problems are my fault. And I know that there have been times when you've gone out of your way to make a little bit of trouble for me because I've gone out of my way to make a lot of trouble for you. Fair to say? Fair to say, Bourne said after a minute. Carl had finished his examination of the sapling and left behind a note for future dogs. The three of them started walking again. Fair to say, Holloway said again. So, ups and downs. But there's one thing that I respect about you, Chad. It's that you're fundamentally a decent human being. There are times when you've hated me, but you always invited me to that stupid holiday thing you hold for the contractors you rep. You've always been fair in our dealings, and I know not every Zeracorp contractor rep is. Hell, you even like my dog. He's a good dog, Bourne said. Better than you deserve. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Holloway said. One thing I've always been blessed with is better people than I deserve. Carl, Isabel, Sullivan, even though he's dating my ex. Even you, Chad. In your own annoying way, you've been better than I deserve. It's clear I've been pretty lucky. It's a mystery to me, Bourne said. It really is. Holloway smiled at this. It's because you've been fundamentally decent to me that I wanted to tell you something. I think you're about to get royally screwed. Bourne stopped. What the hell is that supposed to mean? He said. You have a skimmer, Holloway said. I have a company skimmer, Bourne said. So what? So I think by the time you get back to your cubicle today, you're going to find out it's been impounded, Holloway said. What? Bourne said. Why? By who? You? Not by me, Holloway said. I suspect you're going to find it's been impounded as evidence by whoever's representing Joe DeLise in the preliminary hearing I've filed against him for burning down my house. What does Joe DeLise have to do with my skimmer? Bourne said. As far as anybody knows, not a thing, Holloway said. And that's the point, Chad. When they impound it, they're probably going to run some tests on it, and I suspect they're going to find that there's residue of fire suppressant on it, the same sort of fire suppressant I have at my place. Bourne looked confused. How did it get there? He said. Because your skimmer was at my place when it burned down, obviously, he said. He started the three of them walking again. He didn't want to stay in the same place too long. There might be some other physical evidence as well, I suppose, but I'm guessing that's the one DeLise's lawyer is going to use to introduce reasonable doubt to my assertion that he was the one who set fire to my place. I didn't drive it the day your place burned down, Bourne said. Where were you? Holloway said. I had the day off, Bourne said. I was supposed to go to that hearing about those fuzzy creatures of yours, but I woke up feeling sick and decided to chuck it. I stayed in my apartment all day. Anyone with you? Holloway asked. No, Bourne said. So no corroborating witnesses to you sleeping through the whole day, Holloway said. So? Bourne said. So DeLise has already assured us that he's got numerous witnesses who will swear they've seen him, either at work or at that piece of shit bar he hangs out in, Holloway said. He's got enough people scared of him that they'll testify in court he was where he says he was, instead of where he really was, which was at my house, burning it down. But it doesn't make any sense, Bourne said. There's no way for DeLise or anyone else to get access to the skimmer. I keep the key fob in my pocket. Has DeLise ever been in your skimmer? Holloway asked. You know he has, Bourne said. He was Aubrey's security detail when we came to visit you. Holloway looked at Bourne, counting off the seconds while the tumblers in his rep's brain clicked into place. Oh, crap, Bourne said. You left the key fob with DeLise because I wouldn't let him out of the skimmer, Holloway said. More than enough time for him to crack the encryption and make a copy, if he knows how or if he had help. Then later he could pick up the skimmer any time, and when it left the garage, it would be your key fob signature registered as checking it out. Why me? Bourne asked. Because you're my rep, Chad, Holloway said. Everyone knows you have your troubles with me. Everyone knows I'm a pain in your ass. There is record after record of you and me wrangling about one thing or another. There are lots of examples of me ignoring you or bypassing you or otherwise running right over you to get what I want. Now, with Judge Sultan's ruling to get more study on the fuzzies, I've threatened your job along with the job of every other person on the planet. After everything, it's not entirely unreasonable for you to snap and decide to take it out on me. You assumed I returned to my cabin immediately after the hearing and decided to burn it down around me. It makes perfect sense. Bourne stopped and sat down on the curb, wordless. It makes perfect sense, Holloway said, unless someone actually knows you, Chad, someone like me. You and I have had our moments, but I know you're a decent person. That's why I'm warning you about this ahead of time." Bourne just sat there and shook his head. "Come on," Holloway said, eventually nudging him. "We've got to get you back." "You could be wrong about this," Bourne said after several moments of silence. "I might be," Holloway said. "You might get back to your cubicle and then go out to the garage to get your skimmer and find it there waiting for you, in which case I suggest you give it a thorough washing. On the other hand, you might get back to find I was right, and that you've been called to testify in front of the preliminary hearing, in which case you're going to find the circumstantial evidence combined with your lack of an alibi is going to get someone off the hook and you on it." "You're telling me all this is going to happen, but you're not telling me how to clear myself," Bourne said. "I can't tell you that," Holloway said. "I'm already telling you more than I should, and the only reason I can do that is because, as far as either of us knows, they haven't impounded your skimmer or called you to testify. You're not on the docket yet, but you will be, and between now and then, you need to figure out some things for yourself." "Like what?" Bourne asked. "Like who it is that's decided keeping DeLees out of trouble is worth throwing you to the wolves," Holloway said. "Because whoever it is has decided that there's nothing you can do to them that could possibly hurt them. So when you do figure out who it is, that's your next step. Finding out what's going to hurt them the most." "There's no point in that if it's not going to help me," Bourne said. "Chad, this is what I mean about you being a fundamentally decent guy," Holloway said. "Let me put it to you this way. Sometimes in life you're going to win, and sometimes you're going to lose. But just because you lose doesn't mean the other guy needs to win. Do you understand me?" "Not really," Bourne said. "Well, think about it anyway," Holloway said. "Maybe it will come to you." The three of them turned a corner and stood in front of the Zerocorp administration building. "Your stop," Holloway said. "I still don't like you very much," Bourne said to Holloway. "I haven't ever given you any reason to like me, Chad," Holloway said. "And I'm not going to pretend I like you all that much either. Just know that I think you're a good guy. You're a good guy, and you don't deserve to get screwed. And as much as I can, I'm going to try to keep that from happening. All right?" "All right," Bourne said. Impulsively, he stuck out his hand to Holloway. He took it. "Thanks," Holloway said. Bourne nodded and entered the building. Holloway watched him fade into the murk of the lobby and then maneuvered Carl across the street, where Isabel and Sullivan were waiting for him. Carl made a beeline for Isabel, who patted him happily. "How is he?" Sullivan asked of Bourne. "He's now completely scared shitless," Holloway said, which was the plan. "Any idea what he'll do when he gets called to testify?" Sullivan asked. "Not a clue," Holloway said. "Should be interesting," Sullivan said. "That's a word for it," Holloway said. "Stop it, both of you," Isabel said. "Poor Chad. He's an actual human being, you know, not just a chess piece for the two of you to play with." "He's definitely a pawn," Holloway said. "The question is whether he's ours or someone else's. And at the very least, we're trying to keep him from getting framed for arson or attempted murder, come to think of it." "He's a good guy, Jack," Isabel said. "I know it, Isabel," Holloway said. "I really do." Isabel did not look terribly convinced. "While the two of you were off having your little chat, both Isabel and I got some interesting news," Sullivan said. "What is it?" Holloway asked. "We're being transferred," Isabel said. "Both of us. Mark's been given a general counsel position on Zara 11, and I'm being sent back to Earth to head up a lab there." "Effective when?" Holloway asked. "Effective immediately," Sullivan said. "We've both been relieved of our duties and have been given 3 days to pack. Our beanstalk transport is scheduled to leave while you're having your preliminary hearing." "How unsurprisingly coincidental," Holloway said. "It's not just us," Isabel said. "Arnold Chen's paperwork snafu has magically cleared itself up. He's headed to Urayal on the same beanstalk transport we are." "He must be excited," Holloway said. "He's miserable," Isabel said. "He called me about it and was wailing. He's waited his whole life to decipher the language of a new sentient being, and they won't let him. They've locked him out of his files entirely. They locked me out of mine, too." "I still have copies of yours," Holloway said. "Which is the only reason I'm not wailing," Isabel said. "They're clearing us out before the SEPA Xenosentience team can get here," Sullivan said. "Anyone who knows anything about the Fuzzies, except for you, Jack." "You figure that's ominous," Holloway said. "Don't you?" Sullivan asked. "I've been in ominous mode since my skimmer fell out of the sky," Holloway said. "We're worried about you, Jack," Isabel said. "Both of us are." "You can't fool me," Holloway said. "You're more worried about Carl." "I'm serious, Jack," Isabel said. "I'm more worried about the dog myself," Sullivan said. "There we go," Holloway said. "Mark," Isabel said. "Isabel, Mark," Holloway said. Your new assignments don't change anything. None of this changes anything. When we woke up this morning, we had 3 days to prepare. We still have 3 days to prepare. If we pull it off, 3 days is all the time we're going to need. If we don't, then it's not going to matter one way or another. For now, let the future take care of itself. We've got 3 days. Let's get to work.